Hello, and welcome to the Music Teacher Coffee Talk podcast. I'm Tanya.
And I'm Carrie. We are both elementary music teachers who love to talk shop, preferably over a steaming cup of coffee. This is episode number 156. Today we are talking about our end of the school year plans. We'll also talk about our highs and lows from the teaching week, discuss some ideas in our Know Better, Do Better segment, share a Work Smarter, Not Harder teacher tip.
And in our CODA section, we'll give some specific recommendations of our favorite things we are enjoying in or out of the music room. So grab your beverage of choice and let's get started. It's time for our highs and lows from the teaching week. It's getting to be that time of year where it's winding down and yet we still have some school.
Yeah.
So how's it going, Carrie?
Generally good. Just, yeah, busy. And we'll talk a lot about this in the main theme, so I won't talk about those kind of things now. But I just have a funny story. That's going to be my high today, as a funny story. So it's recorder time with both third grade and fourth grade. Fourth grade, we've basically just been playing all year throughout the year. And third grade, we just started with just some BAG stuff, and then we'll continue next year in fourth grade. But what's happening now in fourth grade is they're really working more independently now. So I will post songs for them to learn on Seesaw, and then they record themselves either during class, they have work time, or they record at home. I got a recorder test this week from a kid on Seesaw, and I just was cracking up because the whole time his dog is just howling in the background. He kind of starts, and I start to hear this like little whimpering sound. I'm like, what is that? And by the end, the dog is just like howling, singing along, and it just made my day. It was just the funniest thing. And then I also had a third grader who told me, you know, they just got to take their recorders home like a week ago. And he's like, my dog follows me around because we whistle to him and that's how he knows to come to me. And so every time I'm playing recorder, he follows me around like a little Pied Piper. So anyways, just funny recorder stories. I've had parents telling me funny stories too. And it just always makes me laugh. Recorder is always an adventure.
Yeah. I wonder what those overtones are for animals.
I don't know. I've had kids who've told me in the past that their parents make them practice outside because the dog just can't take it anymore. So the dog's inside, the recorder goes outside, or vice versa.
yes, I remember this too. I once had triplets, two boys and a girl, and third grade recorder. And mom was always very nice and sweet. But when recorder started, she was really annoyed. because of the dog problem. Yeah. And there's three of them, because when one of the triplets would play, the other two wanted to play too. And anyway, it was a whole thing. It's fine. I'm a parent of only two people. Yeah. So I can't imagine three kids in the house playing recorder and the dog going nuts. Yeah. Would probably, leave me a little uneasy.
Yeah, totally. All right. What about you, Tanya?
Well, I'm going to share a high because this past week I've been getting ready for a fourth grade Colorado concert. But this year, in addition to the Colorado songs that I've done in the past, we are doing a couple of xylophone pieces straight from Hot Marimba because it's a great resource and why not? And I have been practicing with these fourth graders, and it's really exciting because I just love how they progress and how seeing them 5 days in a week, one benefit is when I see them five times in a row is that on Monday till Tuesday, Wednesday, when we get to be about Thursday class period, they really start gelling and listening to each other and able to stay together. They might rush the tempo overall, but they stay together anyway. So it's been delightful to see, but my big high is that this past week was really nice. I think it was Monday, and I was able to say, okay, and now we're going to play this piece, and you know which instrument you're going to. It's going to be, you know, the one that you chose here, and you're going to bring it out. You're going to get the mallets. You're going to do all the things. If you need to take off a bar or two, you do that, and we have an episode, you and I, called Your Future Self Will Thank You. So I am thanking my past self for setting up this whole sequence of like, here's how we get the instruments out. We we have them parked against the cabinets over here, and you pull them out here, and here's the mallets that go with these instruments, and here's the mallets that goes with those, and those shouldn't be, these are too big to play on that soprano and all that. Here's how you take off bars from the far edge, all of that stuff, right? I did not have to go through that whole spiel. I said, all right, give me a thumbs up if you remember how to take off bars, how to get the instrument out, which mallets you get, how to practice. You can have some practice time and noodling time as long as everyone's being respectful of the instrument. I mean, it took less than 30 seconds for me to just say, let's remember these things.
Yeah.
Now go do it. And then they did it. And wow. Yay. Thank
Yay.
you, Past Tanya, because that is in there. And it was Monday, and I hadn't seen these kids for 2 weeks. And yet we've done it enough that they could go. And that was great.
Awesome. So here we are. It's the end of April, which in music teacher world means it's the end of the year because of how often we see our kids, right? I just had a little rejoicing celebration for myself this last week because I really am pretty much planned out as far as lesson plans go the rest of the year, other than, minor tweaks here and there. Yeah, just because of how often I see my kids. So no more writing lesson plans for me, but then there's all the other end of the year stuff to squeeze in, which is a whole other situation. So we thought we would take some time to talk about what we are doing to wrap up the year. And we have done other podcasts in the past about end of the year stuff, whether it's logistical things, like you mentioned, the Your Future Self Will Thank You. In that episode, we talk a lot about cleaning your room and doing things now that will help you next year. And we've talked about closure, like having like emotional closure with your students, especially if you're leaving your school. So we'll link to all of our past episodes that have to do with end of the year, wrapping things up, closure, all of those things. We'll link to all of them in the show notes. And we might repeat things in this episode that we've said in the past, but that's okay because that's how teaching
Because
works,
in real
right?
life, we will repeat things.
Exactly. So the focus of this episode is really like what we're doing with our students. What are we planning? And what's kind of our mindset for the rest of the year? So
Exactly. All
starting.
right.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to get into it.
Yeah, let's
So
do it.
here's the time. And you said you're planned out. I'm almost planned out. I have about 4 to 6 times class periods with every single class, some less, some more, which makes things a little wonky, but we can talk a little bit about that. But here's the time of year where we do decide, are we going to teach one more concept or one more thing, or are we going to table it for next year? And after lots of years of experience, I know that anything that I attempt to teach now, I'm going to be revisiting in the fall. And that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
So I just, for example, in first grade, I just presented law. And so we've been lawing it up, and we're going to have some more law practice in the next couple of lessons. But what I haven't really got to is late practice of law, and what I won't get to. And so that so me la from me to la on the staff, reading it, writing it, playing it on instruments. That's not gonna happen. And that's okay, right? Because that really is a late practice of law, because understanding that leap and being able to sing it and being able to read it and sing it and play it, that's a challenging thing. And we're not gonna master that by the end of the year. So,
Totally.
tabling that, I mean, we are lying it up, but mostly from a step away from so.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
So there's lots of
Something.
things that might come up that you might get excited about. Oh, can we squeeze in 3, 4? Probably not. And if you do, maybe you consider it a prep, and then you prep again at the beginning of next year with those same kids.
Right. Excuse me. Yeah, I was in the exact same position with law with my first graders and decided to go ahead and present it. Same thing, even though I knew our practice would be a little simple and on the shallow side. But then next year, our practice will really dig into law as we're preparing dough. But then, like in second grade, for example, we've got dough clef, and there was part of me that was like, can I squeeze in Ray? And that was like, no, that's too big. It's too big to squeeze in. Ray needs a lot of prep because they're so used to singing high, middle, low, for so me do. And now singing high, middle, low, mi, re, do is a whole
Right.
different tune for their ears, right? So, I decided that is not something I can squeeze in. But
But
then, like,
some
there
things
are.
you can do. Can I just,
Oh, yeah.
because I it's very Ray related, and it came up kind of organically in my room.
Yeah.
And because I also practicing do with the second graders, and same thing, I was like, can I squeeze in Ray? No, I can't. But we did Rocky Mountain High because do mi sol la is a lovely pattern for
Yeah.
them to like, oh, hey, we've got do mi so and la, because while I have a lot of so mi do songs, we rarely have all do mi so la, and especially ascending. So here's a song that we can play the game, we can do things with it, we can put things on instruments with just a bourdon, and we can play that specific do mi so la pattern. But that song is a great Ray song. I'm just not bringing out anything with Ray. So I can visit that material, but I'm not using it for the new element yet.
100%. Yeah, and then there are songs that like I did Lo So with third grade, and that was another like I think I can squeeze this in because once they know Lo La, Lo So is pretty simple, right? And there's a lot of really great song literature that gets that Lo So in their ear right away. So I was able to squeeze in Lo So no problem. But then there's just some really fun Lo So literature that I didn't get to this year that will be a review song for next year. Like I love Draw a bucket of water, do so, that do so, because again, it doesn't have the do la so right there. It just has the do so, which is a bigger leap. So it's a better late practice song. So, all that to say, that's going to be a really fun way to kick off fourth grade, right? Playing Draw a bucket of water. It's a
Oh, and we can play that game again because we can do a basket. We can get
I know.
close. Isn't it exciting to
And it was
live
the
in a
exact.
non-COVID or a post-COVID world?
That was the exact thought I had earlier in the year when I was like, oh, third grade, low so, we're gonna get draw a bucket of water back in. And then we did it, but then it'll be fun next year. So, but just something again to think about is yes, while we don't want to squeeze in a concept that we're gonna have to like really reteach next year, we also don't want to get into the trap, and I've gotten in this trap of pushing too much back. They're not ready for this, so I'm not gonna do it yet, because then what inevitably ends up happening is it gets snowballed, and by the time they're in fourth or fifth grade now, we've barely learned do re mi, right? So it's like there's a point too, and we had this conversation. We had a music curriculum group, a small group of us met yesterday on a PD day, and our curriculum coordinator was talking about this within our full district. It's really pushing this idea of, continue to teach at the standard, continue to teach where the students should be, and then provide like remediation for students who aren't getting it. Don't wait for 100% of your class to get a concept before moving on. It's never going to happen, right? So we can't stop teaching what we know we should teach at each grade. Now there's a little bit of push and pull, of course. Like I didn't get to Ray, fine, we'll do Ray next year. But it's not like I'm going to be like, well, they're still not getting Ray in third grade, so now I have to teach it in fourth grade. Like there's a point where you just kind of have to teach it and move on and hope the other kids will catch up slowly or provide opportunities for them to catch up. So yeah, you just have to find the right balance for you and how often you see your kids. That's always a big part of it, right?
Yes. And this is the time where, if you've made song lists for the year, this is a really good time to revisit old material, to reinforce concepts, or to like make checks on your song list for whatever grade level. Like, did this, we did that. I mean, ideally, one should be keeping up with the song list throughout the year, but let's be honest, I don't all the time. This is one more, literally one more box to check. But this is a good time when you're still fresh in this school year to go, okay, we did do these songs. Oh, like you were just singing Draw Me a Bucket of Water. And I was thinking, oh yeah, I've not done that. And I mean, I've stayed away from it because of COVID for years. And like, this is something that is in my third grade song list. And I could do that. Like I could add that. And then, just keep those records going before you get too far away from this school year.
And something specifically that I make now, although now that it's already made, I just revisit it. But for every grade level, I have like a Google Doc of all of the things I want to do to review. So it's like a table, like I want to review next year in second grade, then I'm going to review Ta and Titi. And then here are a couple songs. One might be an old song we did in first grade that we bring back. One might be a new song. And then review Rest, review So Me, and then review Law, right? And then I have a couple of songs. So it's almost like a mini concept plan for everything I want to review, as well as like the specific things I want to do. So when I'm reviewing Rest, and we're going to get out the popsicle sticks. When I review So and Me, we're going to play Poison Pattern. So then it also kind of checks off like the activities that we did in first grade that I want to bring back in second grade. So then in my head, I'm like, oh yeah, we've done popsicle sticks before. So when we do them again for Tikka Tikka later on, I know they've done it. Right. So it's just I can share on the show notes an example of my little review sheet, but it's fun to look at it now so that next year I don't sit there and go, wait, what did we do in
What
first
are we
grade? Right.
doing?
So it's the same idea as the song list, but talking about like these songs I want to use. So like Bow Wow Wow, I didn't get to for Rest this year. So it's gonna be a review Rest song next year. Draw Me a Bucket of Water, review for Loso. So I can stick those in my little review page. And then that's like my first couple weeks of lesson plans written right there, which is really nice too.
And then you can bow wow wow for rest, and then there's one of your double duty songs, comes back for Ray.
Exactly. Awesome.
All right, shall we move into what are we doing at the end of the school year? Are we
Yeah.
sticking to the same old? Are we shaking it up? What's happening in the music room? Because there's more than one way to skin a cat, as they say.
Yeah.
So, yes.
For me, it's a little of both, which is an awful answer. But again, because of the new way that I was seeing my kids this year, when we added a fourth rotation, I see my second through fifth graders a lot less this year. So on average, in a school year before, I would see my kids about 60 times, 60 class periods. This year it's 45. So that's a huge, significant chunk of time that I lost with my kids. So all that to say, in the past, I would really try to kind of wrap up like my, beefy content really by May and let May be just like a kind of fun month where we just do extra things. I don't have time for that this year. So I really am continuing to teach pretty traditional lessons, but sprinkling in some fun things, right? Some sparkle. I am with my fifth grader specifically, though. We're just doing a ukulele unit to finish up the year. So that's really nice. We've talked about this before. Having, for older kids especially, giving them an opportunity to do something where they're more independent at the end of the year is really nice. So we'll do like a little mini lesson where we'll learn a new chord. We'll play a song or two that has a new chord. And then in their Google Classroom, I have all these play along videos. Okay, now go practice on your own or with a buddy. And so that works really well for
Can I
older.
build off of what you were just saying about the
Yes.
independent work?
Yes,
Because with my
please.
fifth graders, I am doing a keyboard unit, which is similar because we're doing a lot of independent, where they have headphones, we're plugging in. At my new to me school that I've been there for 2 years, I've built up the keyboard. I don't quite have a class set. However, at my former school, which is not far, I know there's a class set because I built that up. And so the music teacher who is now at my old school was generous enough to let me borrow those keyboards to fill out an entire set of keyboards, which is a lovely thing. The other funny thing is that I have to use batteries now because it used to be at my other school, I would set up tables around the periphery of the room because my room was big enough and I would have things plugged in. And that's just a not possible thing in my current room. For lots of reasons, one of which is that my room is the stage and it's simply not large enough for me to have keyboards set up all the time. That said, it's great to borrow these keyboards. And yes, I've got all the batteries in the world to power them. And I have several leveled books that are really very read this, play this. It's very from the very beginning. So I have a group of books that, these are for kids who have never ever played keyboards. I have a leveled up for if you've had some experience, but it's been a while, or kids who are currently taking lessons. I encourage them to bring in their books so that they can practice. I like, here's some extra practice time. And I encourage them to complete 3 or more quizzes. And years ago, I already went through the books and said, okay, this would make a good quiz one. This would make a good quiz two. So I have all that already mapped out. And so my fifth grade class time, we are practicing our continuation song because we are doing one performance song for their continuation. And then the rest of the time, they are working individually at their own pace and they are signing up to be heard for their keyboard quizzes. And it's just been a lovely thing. I've been using what used to be Little Kids Rock, but is now Music Will. There's some wonderful videos on the keyboard where Spencer goes through like, okay, we're gonna play this Jackson 5 song. And so I did that once for one of my fifth grade classes. And then the next day, and then the rest of the time they had on their own to practice, but time is kind of limited during the class time. So the next day I said, hey, listen, do you want to do a little mini lesson again where we're watching the video and we're playing along with the track? Or do you just want to go to your individual going through the keyboard book? And they wanted to do their individual practice. So I think that there's a lot to be said for fifth grade and the mindset at the end of the year is that, like, I think they really value that agency and honestly to just be left alone and do their thing.
Yep.
And I've been always surprised, and this year's no different. I'm surprised of the kids who really get into it, kids that I would never expect, who are really jazzed and excited that they can use all five fingers and they pass their first keyboard quiz and they're really into it. Yeah. And so it's the perfect way, I think, to end the year in my classroom for the fifth graders. Yeah. Specifically. Additionally, you know, if I have extra days, which I do with some classes with other grade levels, and I know that this is coming up, I'm going to have, you know, third grade is going to have one extra time. I'm going to pull out the keyboards and go, here's our explore time with the keyboards. And the other third grade time, grade classes might not get that time. And that's okay. Not a big deal. But I really enjoy that whole individual practice time.
Totally. Yep, I've done keyboards in the past too. It's not happening for me this year, but ukulele is serving kind of that same idea. I've done guitar in the past when I had sixth grade doing guitar and then independent time on the guitar. Yeah, just anytime you can throw them on their Chromebooks and have them do something independent, like I said, with headphones, they enjoy it because I think it's relaxing for them too. It like provides that little moment of just, this is nice.
And I imagine at fifth grade, that a lot of kids, you know, it's the end of elementary school and they're probably at this place of, I'm tired of people telling me what to do moment to moment. And I need some time to just, you know, be and make my own choices.
Yeah. The other thing I'm doing differently with fifth grade to shake it up is, you know, I have like a choice day system normally where they earn, they have to spell the word music. I know, super creative, right? And when they spell the word music, we earn a choice day. And I decide ahead of time when those choice days will be, and I space them out at certain points. Well, fifth grade got off as far as the other grades go of when those choice days would be because if they had a big program earlier in the year and it just kind of made everything off. So we're at the point where every class where they can't earn another choice day. There's not enough days left to earn a full choice day. So what I told them is we're going to have a mini choice day every day. So, you know, if they do well and if they're working hard, which I mean they are, it's really not so much of a carrot as it is a celebration. The last 10 minutes of every class, I pull up our list of songs and games and we have some choice time. They pick one song and game. Sometimes we can get two depending on the ones we play. And we have a little mini choice time as a celebration at the end of every lesson versus leading up to one big choice day at the end. And that's been really fun, just to have some fun relaxation at the end of class. So that's been good too.
Awesome. What about other things that you might do at the end of the year that are fun and unique and a little more sparkly than what you normally are doing?
Yeah. So for me, it's more about like incorporating extra stuff into a normal lesson. So I still feel like I'm doing kind of a typical Kodai inspired lesson. But for example, second grade, we've been practicing Do for a while. We've been reading Do in different places. And I do introduce with second graders, see Do or the ledger line Do, because, you know, they're going to see that. So I think it's important to have like a moment where we're really looking at that. You know, what is a ledger line? Why do we need it? All that stuff. And then that's a beautiful segue into playing Boomwhackers because see, Do is very low to sing. We know this. So then having them color code notes on the staff and then play songs with Boomwhackers. And then I also introduce the idea of a chord playing Do, Mi, and So at the same time. So they're playing Do, Mi, and So Boomwhackers while we're singing or doing a game or whatever. So Boomwhackers are super fun at the end of the year. Any sort of percussion that you've just kind of had tucked back in your cabinet that you haven't played in a while. I'm getting out maracas with first grade because we're doing La Raspa. So I'm having, and I'm talking about AB form. So I'm having them play sticks or claves on the A part and then shake maracas on the B part. So all
Nice.
those non-pitched percussion or auxiliary percussion that you can pull out of your cabinets is really fun for the little ones this time
Yes.
of
Can I
year.
mention with boom whackers, because you were talking about chords,
Yeah.
I love the musication play-alongs,
Oh, yeah.
some more than others, and an excellent one to bring out with chords when you're introducing chords and we're doing them on boom whackers is the Banana Boat Song,
Yes, I love that one.
which is a lovely thing because it brings in the melody. First you start on the melody, but then it brings in these chords and everything's in C. So that's a really fun thing. Several years ago, I think I also had kids play the chords on the ORF instruments like C, E, and G, where you hold
Yeah.
two mallets in one hand and one mallet in the other hand. And oh, your job is only when you see that C chord with the red on the bottom, that's you.
That's very cute. Yeah, and if you're into this kind of thing, sound stories, I know everyone has different opinions about those, but taking some sort of a picture book and then adding instruments to it, you know, again, if that's something your kids are used to, that's easier to put together. But that could be a fun thing, you know, for primary kids to kind of wrap up the year. I want to give a mini shout out here to Victoria and Anne. Victoria Bowler and Anne Molesky have a podcast called Teaching Music Tomorrow, and their latest little series, they've been talking about ways to use non-pitched percussion instruments in all grades. If you haven't listened to those episodes, give them a listen because they're just quick, simple things. Take this rhyme, take this chant, and play these specific instruments on different rhythms, right? The ticka ticka is played on this one, the half notes played on that one. And it's just real simple stuff just to get the instruments in the kids' hands and have some fun with it.
Exactly. Yeah, I have to listen to those. I saw that they had a new series up, and I just hadn't had time to do that.
Yeah, I just listened to the second of the two this morning and I was like, yeah, it's just simple stuff because I think sometimes we just overthink it when it comes to instruments, right? We want to make it this big, grandiose ensemble. And it doesn't, part work doesn't you have to necessarily mean a bunch of people playing at the same time. It could be this instrument plays this part, now this instrument plays this part. That's part work because you're playing and then you're not playing. So I think, yeah, just simplifying what part work is and what instrumental work can be, it's still so fun for the kids. Like,
It
don't
is.
not get the instruments out because you're afraid it's too much, right? Here are some simple ways to incorporate those instruments.
For sure. And then we need to talk about going outside, which I
Oh, yeah.
always connect to dance. So at the end of the year, one of the things I love to do is every grade level learns a fun dance. I mean, they're all fun, of course, but like a dance that we can take outside because the weather, not today, it's raining that turned into snow in Colorado because that's kind of weird and funky, but actually, it's not. This is not uncommon in this time of year in Colorado. But so if we learn a dance that we can take outside, and at my current school, a fun little bonus is I've noticed that when I take certain grades outside to do their dance, well, I have a rolly rock block rocker. I'm gonna say block rocker, which is the opposite. That would be a non-speaker thing. Anyway, but I have a little rolly. You don't have to have it plugged in, you know, and I can like Bluetooth into that. And so I take my little rolly block rocker and we go outside and like the third grade, they will get to do their dance outside. And it's usually lovely spring weather. And the bonus is that kindergartners and first graders happen to be at recess. Now, is it okay that we draw a crowd and they stand around? That's great. Am I
Yeah.
looking for that every time? Absolutely not. But the third graders really get a kick out of it, and they tend to elevate their performance in a good way
Oh, yeah.
when they get to do this dance outside. And they know that, hey, look, we've got a little crowd of kindergartners and first graders who are watching us and clapping along. And so, you know, that's it. That's really just part of the joy of musicking in a place where, oh, hey, I know how to move to this. And sometimes the kindergartners or first graders will like try to do what we're doing. And it's just really lovely and organic when that happens. And it's just a special treat to go outside and do things. Taking parachutes outside is a lovely thing as well.
Oh, yeah.
Depending on your parachute, make sure you're, I wouldn't do it on asphalt or the
Right.
blacktop parachute on the ground as long as it's not wet. I'm thinking I'm not going to be parachuting this coming week outside.
Right.
as I look at the wet ground. But those kind of things are an extra special treat. And it doesn't always have to be a dance. I've done things like gone outside and played Doggy Doggy, Where's Your Bone? Where we're sitting in a circle outside. Works really well.
And doing things like writing rhythm with sidewalk chalk. I did that
Oh,
when,
yeah.
with younger kids, just get a bunch of chalk and go outside and write some rhythms. That's a super fun thing to do too.
For
We have
sure.
a whole, I was looking while you're talking, we have a whole podcast episode, but it's kind of an older one. So it'd be fun to revisit episode 13, is favorite outside songs and games. So that's more like
Oh, there you
singing
go.
games that work really well outside. So
I'm going to go listen to that. I
I
totally
know,
forgot
like,
we did that.
I bet there's ones I forgot about. So, we'll link to it in the show notes. It's from 2018, Tanya. Gosh, we've been doing this a while.
Ooh, wow. That
Yeah.
was pre-pandemic. I hope it still holds.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned earlier, like, what to do when you have like an extra class. So you mentioned, putting them on the keyboards. Stations is another great thing to do, or escape rooms, which is really like stations with a twist in my world. It's just, again, always such a great opportunity just to let them kind of drive the learning, and that, yes, you set up the stations, and yes, you might even assign them their groups, but they're able to talk, they're able to interact, they're able to just kind of relax and have fun. It's fun to bring out thematic things. So this is where you could bring out springtime and summertime manipulatives, to do stations with. And then, yeah, escape rooms could be fun at the end of the year if it's like you set it up, like they have to kind of test their knowledge of what they've learned. We're escaping third grade to go on to fourth grade. I've done escape rooms like that. I don't have time to do an escape room this year,
Can I ask
unfortunately.
you a question about escape
Oh,
rooms?
yeah.
Because I've done them. Honestly, I haven't done it since the pandemic. And one of the things about the escape room that's kind of fun is that when they escape the room and they open up the what I had them do in the past was, and this is before we had one-on-one technology, now all of my students have a Chromebook, right?
Yeah.
So it used to be that, oh, we escaped the room and now we can go to the library and get a Chromebook and noodle around on that. That is no longer a special treat because they're one-on-one
Right.
and these are things that we do more often. What have you done? What kinds of things have you done for here? You've escaped the room and now you get to what?
Honestly, it's not that exciting, but they just sit in the hallway. So I work in
And
a
now you get to
school.
sit in the hallway.
Honestly, okay, let me explain. I work
No,
in a
I want to
school
hear it. Yeah.
where working in the hallway is a thing. And for better or for worse, I am a bit of a control freak and it bothers me. I don't let kids work in the hallway. And so they're always asking me, can I work in the hallway? Like anytime they're doing independent work, can I go work in the hallway? And I'm like, no, spread out, find
Yeah,
some
mine
space,
asked me too, and it
apply.
makes me wonder what's been going on before I was there.
It's
Whatever.
honestly, it wasn't even the music teacher before me. It's the whole school. There are kids working in the hallway all the time. And that is
I
the
noticed
culture of
this
our
at my
building.
school too. And if it was like, and I have done this with fifth graders where I'll have like up to four kids, and that's it. I can have four. Other than that, I get to feel uncomfortable. Like I should be supervising.
I know.
Makes me nervous.
So that's the whole thing. And then because of where my room is positioned, there's kind of a long chunk of hallway where no classroom is, because I'm like in the back of the school and it's like the back of the gym. So all that to say, I could eventually have pretty much a whole class sitting out in the hallway and it's not like in front of another class. Now, when I did an escape room last year with my fifth graders, I warned the teacher next to me, and again, it's the end of the year. I said, hey, I'm doing this thing with fifth grade. There might be a lot of them in the hallway, but, and they're like, okay, that's fine. Because honestly, again, that's like a thing at my school. And then it got to a point where I was kind of standing halfway in the door because I only had like one or two groups who were still finishing the escape room, and I had three or four groups out in the hallway, right? So I ended up at a point where there are more kids out in the hallway. So I just kind of stood in the doorway so I could kind of still monitor the kids. And honestly, you know what they were doing? They were doing a word search on a piece of paper. That was what they were doing. But that to them
Oh,
was
so
a
you're going
novelty.
low tech.
Low tech and hallway. Those were novelties to my kids. Now, will that work for
Okay.
everybody? Maybe not, but I just have weird
No, that's a
kids.
great idea 'cause you know what? I always forget kids, or at least my students, have always loved word searches.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. They get super jazzed. All right, that is great. Thank you. That's some good ideas because fifth grade, we're good to go. But I was thinking, what can I do? Because fourth grade's going to do a concert in this next week. And then after that, I'm like, oh, just have just a handful of days and not with everybody. And I'd love to do an escape room as a review for the whole year. And I was like, what do they escape? What's the fun thing that they get to do?
And
But
maybe you could
love that.
also ask for assistance. Like maybe you could borrow a para for 15 minutes. Like, it's really going to be like the last 15 minutes of class that you're going to have a lot of kids sitting in the hallway. So maybe there's a para who can come and support you for those 15 minutes. Or even if you want to go there, a parent volunteer that you ask ahead of time who can be out in the hallway if you're worried about supervision. So just some ideas with that.
No, yeah, now I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, in the lockbox, they get a little thing. Go ask Miss Lejeune for your word search and go in the hallway. Woo.
I know. It's
Cool.
silly, but this is what fifth graders get jazzed about right now, right?
Okay,
Yeah.
great. Thanks.
You're
Yay.
welcome. Yeah. So, yeah, stations, escape rooms. And again, we've done so many podcast episodes where we talked about both those things. We're not going to get into details. Yeah. Another thing I like to incorporate this time of year is new technology. So there you go. We talked about old tech. But for example, second grade, I haven't had them bring Chromebooks all year. I don't have Google Classrooms or Seesaw set up for them. It's just such a pain to have them bring devices. So I haven't done it. But I do, again, since we were working on Doe, I wanted them to do some work on Chrome Music Lab. So my plan is to, I'm going to talk to the classroom teachers and see. I'm assuming they have a Google Classroom. So I'm thinking I'm just going to ask them to add me as a co-teacher just for this last chunk of the school year. So I can just go into their, not set up a whole new Google Classroom, but go into their Google Classroom, post a link to Chrome Music Lab, and then show them how to create a song with Do, Mi, So, and La, and then let them play around and do the crazy
Exactly.
things that they do.
Yeah, I like to bring in new technology, or not necessarily new, but like new to them that I haven't introduced them to yet. And
Exactly.
so I do have Seesaw classes and Google Classroom because I've been visiting that and using that, to write melodies, to write rhythms, all of that. So I do have that for every single class. I need to clean it up, I noticed, because I had a problem the other day that my first graders were going into. No, my second graders were going into a Google Classroom, no, a Seesaw thing. And I was like, oh no, I have last year's up here too. And some of them are in last year's and some of them are in this year's. So right now I've got to drop this assignment in both of them and clean it up later.
Yeah.
So I had a moment. But anyway, but some of the new technology type of things that I like to do with them is blob opera is a fun thing to do after they've done whatever worksheet, and they get jazzed about headphones and playing with those blobs and going and seeing different parts of the world, the little folk songs that they do. Another thing, starting at the end of second grade, that I introduced them to first as a whole class with like the last 5 minutes of the class time is Incredibox. So I throw the Incredibox up there, and then I have, a kid go and choose a sound, an ostinato for one of the dudes, and then they pick another kid who goes up until we have a full thing. And then the next time I see them, they have some time on Incredibox on their own, which is a great thing. For older kids, I like Beepbox, which is a fun like video kind of thing. Also, Groove Pizza is fun to play around on. And I think you got to be careful to not don't give them all of this all the time, like all at once, like Chrome Music Lab. I really like to introduce them to Songmaker, where they're completing a song, but that's the only part of Chrome Music Lab that they're using. And then later on, I'm like, oh, look, here we can go and we can play with these rhythms in the rhythm. Is it called Rhythm Maker or
Yeah.
something? Beat Maker?
Beat maker, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it bears repeating that if you do it all the time, it's not special anymore.
Yep. Like Blockets. We've talked about that so many times. Yeah.
Yes, if you
Yeah.
do a Blockit every day, then the kids get sick of Blockit, don't they?
No.
Yes.
Yes, they do. They do. Even my fifth graders are finally Some of them starting to get rid of Blookit. So if we're doing a Blookit, I mean, unless I'm like somehow taking data on it, sometimes if it's just a for fun thing, I'm like, if you want to play the Blookit, great. If you want to go on SoundCloud or Soundtrap instead, fine. As long as you're doing a musical activity, I don't care, you know? Because some of them just don't like Blookit anymore.
I forced myself to do GymKit as a
Yeah.
Blookit alternative because I had a couple of grade levels who were like, "Oh, Blookit." I like they're doing it in their classroom as well, and then
Right, that's the
I
problem.
do have one classroom where they do it like every day.
Yeah.
So I was like, "Okay, fine, GymKit it is. Let's give that a try."
That's
And I
different.
will say there are some things I like better on GymKit. When they sign in, they get a green screen where they can just like draw pictures on. So it keeps all of them occupied while other kids are signing in to the game. But it's so very similar to Blookit. It's just a different, it's slightly different, but that's enough.
I haven't even looked at it yet, but maybe I will. You mentioned parachutes earlier, but yeah, parachutes, movement props, getting out scarves, getting out the stretchy bands, getting out bouncy balls to do different meters with, parachute for singing games or for, you know, movement dances, those kind of things. I often will teach form in some way at the end of the year, like first grade, we learn big A, big B, second grade, we might be big ABA and like big form, right? So getting out movement props to practice form is a fun thing to do at the end of the year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm sorry, gonna mention this is a good time of year to start taking home parachutes and scarves to wash them
Oh,
because I
yeah.
noticed that the smell is a little at this there's it's smelly. It's a little smelly. Let's
Your
just
future self, well, thank you.
your future self, your future, scent, your nose will thank you later on.
Yeah.
So that's a definite. After the end of the school year, I will be bringing the parachute home and washing it and hanging it up to dry. It makes my house very comfortable on the banister upstairs when I just dry that sucker.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is another thing that I like to do. So I go to a lot of workshops, you do too, and conferences. And while I used to be, when I was a younger teacher and less experienced, I would take those workshop notes and session notes, and I would go and do them like the next week.
Right.
Well, I don't do that now because, I've got plans and I'm kind of I know what needs to happen in my room. But I want to test drive this stuff before I forget it because there's some really good stuff. So, recently, Rocky, that's the regional organization of Colorado Kodiak Educators, had Wanda Marshall out, and she had so much wonderful material. And I was like making little notes as we went along in the session, going, "Oh, I really want to try this, and I need to do it before I forget it because this is completely new to me." And so I'm going to be test driving some of her things that she did with us. And anything, there's also, I made some notes from the Oak Conference of things that I have not yet gotten to take out for a test drive. And this is stuff that, like, yes, of course, I can tie it into a specific concept, but I can also just try it out because it's the first time I'm trying it and see how it goes with one of my grade levels.
Yeah, that's a really great idea.
And now it's time for our Know Better, Do Better segment. Carrie, what you got?
So I just want to bring up a topic that doesn't necessarily affect me all that often, but I know we do have some secondary teachers who listen, and it's about concert dress code and being responsive and accepting of all students as far as that goes. And I thought of this because my kids sing with the Colorado Children's Chorale, and last week they had their big spring concert. It was a beautiful concert. And you know, the Children's Chorale has been around for 50 years. They actually just celebrated their 50th year anniversary concert just last weekend. And it's always been that with the tour choir, which my child is in, my daughter's in, the girls would wear long skirts and like a top with like a sash, and the boys would wear a shirt and a tie and pants. And that was the norm, as is in so many performance groups, right? Girls wear one thing, boys wear another. I think especially about choral groups, but I also think about instrumental groups where you might in the past have seen a requirement for a girl to wear a dress or a skirt or whatever. So all that to say, I think we're well aware now that that is not accepting of all students who might be identifying differently, non-binary students, all of those kind of things we need to be considering, right? So I found a really great, just simple article through Alfred Music, and I'll link to it in the show notes, called Make Your Concert Dress Code Work for Everyone. And it's just a really great article kind of explaining the why even have a concert dress code, and what are some ways you can go about it in a way that's more gender affirming and making sure all students feel welcome. Thinking about, getting rid of like a specific color dress code and saying just something like, wear what feels special to you, which is really kind of my route. Like, I have a fourth grade. You mentioned you have a fourth grade concert coming up. I do as well. I'm not asking them to wear anything specific for it, just something nice. Or if you are going the route of we want to all wear the same color, then not being so concerned about whether it's a skirt or pants or a tie or a nice top or a blouse or whatever, that it could mean anything. So going back to my example with the Colorado Children's Chorale last week, what I saw that was different than what I have seen even just a few years ago was I saw girls who are identifying either as girls or non-binary, but they're wearing shirts and ties. The students are basically able to choose what they want to wear, is really what I'm getting at here. So a student could choose to wear the pants and the shirt and the tie, or they could choose to wear the dress. I saw one student who was wearing the long skirt on bottom and the shirt and the tie on the top. So there was a combination. So all that to say, there are ways that you can allow choice, but everything still looked uniform and everything still looked, formal, and all students, I think, felt comfortable, in what they were wearing. So all that to say, check out this article because it gives some really great best practices and some ideas. But if you are still in a situation where either it's just always been that way, girls always wear this, boys always wear that, I definitely ask you to reconsider that because you probably have students who are not comfortable with that. And it could be prohibiting them for signing up for your program, knowing that that has always been the way it is and they're not going to feel comfortable in what they're being asked to wear. So
Most definitely.
think about it. How can we be accepting of all students and what they feel comfortable with?
I really have to. I would be remiss if I did not give a shout out to Travis Branham, who is the, and Emily, his wife Emily, who head up Vocal Coalition, which is the choir that my youngest is a part of. And they are a very diverse, very urban, choir where they do a lot of hip hop music. They do a lot of more contemporary music. And one thing that has been a standard in their concerts, and their last concert is this afternoon, so I'm excited to go to that, is that they have a t-shirt that is that concert's t-shirt. So the t-shirts are black, they have white lettering on them, and they are told, listen, wear that t-shirt. You can alter it any way you want as long as it's still black. If you want to, I don't think they say bedazzle anymore, but if you want to like glue things on it, if you want to, make cutouts on it, that's fine. We just need to read that we all have, the Vocal Coalition and that it's this concert, black bottom, and wear your t-shirt. If you've altered it, that's great. Show your individuality that way. And it's just really worked out awesome. For my kid, especially, who has gone back and forth with dressing more feminine, dressing more masculine. And it's really nice to see that individuality, but in a uniform way, because they're all part of Vocal Coalition. They're all wearing the same shirt, but you can see their individuality stands out. And I just love that. One of the things I love about Vocal Coalition, and it's just so heartwarming to see kids be themselves and still be a part of this group.
100%. Yeah, and I think as elementary teachers, again, this doesn't affect us as much because I know, like, my choir kids, we have a choir shirt and I just tell them to wear blue jeans or pants or skirt. Like, I let them choose what they want on the bottom. And again, yeah, I don't let them necessarily change their shirts, but I do tell them, if you want to wear like in wintertime, oftentimes we add like a scarf or some sort of holiday accessory, but I'm like, I still want to see the choir logo, is really what
Sure,
I tell
yeah.
them. But again, I think especially about our secondary choral folks, I think this really does affect those teachers the most as far as, concert dress, because we think about, again, the traditional traditional. I know when I was in high school choir, girls wore a black dress and boys wore a black pants and a black shirt. So, you know, just again, if you're fighting against a tradition that you didn't create and you don't feel comfortable with, talk to your administrator, use this article to help you, and make a change if that's all that needs to happen.
Yeah.
So now it is time to work smarter and not harder. And Tanya has a tip for us for next year, right, Tanya?
Well, yeah.
This
is another your future self will thank you thing.
Yeah.
And I might have said this in the past. It doesn't matter. And we alluded to this. We talked a little bit about this in our main theme about how it's a good time to write down where your students are and to get specific. I will say one thing that I'm writing down right now is that I have a grade level, a primary grade level, that are consistently, I have more out of tune singers, and I need to spend some more time at the beginning of the school year doing some in tune singing strategies with them, because it's not really gotten better over the year. It's a strange, you know, a conundrum. And I need to spend some more time with some in tune singing things, because we know melodic things are harder when you don't sing in tune, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're not singing a lot, if you're not doing vocal exploration, if you're not providing those solo opportunities, then they're not going to sing in tune. Anyway, all that to say, I'm making some notes of these specific grade levels and specific kids on a doc. And here's the work smarter, not harder tip, is that I am linking it in a calendar event in August. So my first day back in the classroom, I will have a little thing saying plans for this year. And in the notes section, I mean, I'm a Mac person, so I use the Mac calendar. And in that, whenever you put an event in, you have a place where you can put in notes. And I know that you can do this through Google calendars and all of that, but I'm putting the link to that doc so that I don't have to search for it. I don't have to remember that I have it. I could just click on and go, oh yeah, that's right. This grade level really needs more of this. And this grade level got to do, but it was a little sketchy, and you know, all those things.
Awesome. Very smart.
It's our CODA section, where we talk about something that is enriching our lives inside or outside of the classroom. What you got, Carrie?
This isn't in the classroom, although I will probably be studying it this summer out of the classroom. And it is. I'm holding it up for those of you who are watching us on YouTube. First, we sing 101 Songs and Games for Singing, Playing, and More by Dr. Susan Brumfield, a new publication from Susan Brumfield. She has a whole series called First We Sing. There are 3 songbooks plus another one called 100 Little Songs and Games, which are really great for primary students. So this one is definitely a continuation of kind of that 100 Little Games, where these are more for the intermediate grades. Just really excellent song literature in here. A lot of things I already have in my collection or in other resources. However, what I appreciate about Dr. Brumfield is the research that she does. And so for every song, there's also a little tidbit, you know, and it's not super long, but it's enough that I think then you would definitely feel comfortable presenting this information to your students and feeling good about knowing where the song comes from and a little bit about the background, the language, the source, all of those things. So just beautiful, clean notation, great research in here, and just another fabulous book from Dr. Brumfield. So I got it at the Oak Conference, but I know you can get it at West Music and all of those other places. Just another great book to add to your collection if you're looking for more songs and games. And if you're taking CODI levels at all, this is a gem to add to your collection of songbooks to use for your folk song collection.
And I will admit, I do not have it, but I did just order it because I'm like, it's time for me to get the book.
Yeah.
Honestly, looking through the contents initially when it came out, I was like, oh, well, I have that song and I have that song. However, like you were saying, it's the research part that is great to have in a source that is a solid source. We know if it comes from Susan Brumfield, we know it's a really solid source. She does her research very well. So awesome. And if you take CODI levels, or if you have taken them, maybe you're familiar with the 150 Songs and Games, the Orange Book, and the 155 Sail Away, the Blue Book, as we like to scholarly reference them. Uh-huh. There's so many books that I know I had to find, and many people who have had levels have had to find using the 150 and the 155, but this is probably a better source. Oh, not probably. This is a better source because they're more thoroughly researched.
Yeah.
Right. So
she gives credit in her acknowledgments to those specific books, as well as other teachers, you know, because that's what we had. That's what we had to start with. And, you know, it just got to a point where we realized that, yes, the songs contained in those books are great, but we didn't have enough background information about those songs. And to go do the research and find all that background information takes time. So thank you to Dr. Brumfield for doing that for us and putting the songs and the research in one handy place. I tell you, if I was just starting off teaching, and I will tell this to any, you know, young elementary music teachers early in their career, if you just had this book, 101 Songs and Games, as well as the 100, is it 100? 100 Little Songs and Games that she published?
Yes.
I couldn't remember if it was 100 or 101. 100 Little Songs and Games. I mean, that's going to get you through. I mean, while she doesn't talk about specific teaching strategies, then you're going to want to get her other books in the First We Sing series, because then she talks about then teaching strategies with these books. But at least,
Susan, we're just promoting your stuff.
I know.
All over the place.
Seriously. I mean, between those two books, this one and the 100 Little Songs and Games, I mean, that's going to get you so far in your teaching.
And it's so much better than some of the resources I had. I mean, I know this ages me. It doesn't matter. It always does. That 120, you know, the red and white book that's spiral bound called the 120 Songs and Games for the Elementary Classroom. Are you familiar?
The Choxi that now costs like $5,000 million.
Yes, that one. Yeah. You're paying like $3 per song on that one. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I think it's still around. I mean, I know it's still around. I see it. I just check on it from time to time to see where we're at now with the price. It's, you know, it's a great collection of songs. However, there's research in there that is just wrong.
Yeah.
Not research. Well, whatever. There's some not the notation. I'm sorry. I'm getting myself tied up. Some of the songs are listed as coming from places that they did not come from. Let's just say that.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is all.
And that used to be one that I would say, oh, everybody needs to get this. However, there's some errors in it. And now who can afford it anymore? You're better, you know, going to a music room where they haven't cleaned out their stuff and finding it in piles in the back of the cabinets there. But this is a much more less expensive resource and a solid one at that. We know better with song research. We need to do better. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that we've got some really awesome research to back up the literature that we use in the classroom.
Yeah. All right, there you go. We love you, Susan.
Thank you, Susan.
All right, Tanya, what would you like to recommend?
I'm actually also going in the classroom.
What?
I know. That's great. And like I've said, I think I might have mentioned this before, in case our newer listeners or younger teachers are not familiar with, you know, there's a bevy of rain songs that I love to do this time of year because it fits so well with your Somi laws. And there's lots of fun rain songs. Additionally, I think it's always lovely when I can tie in a cultural video, song, something that has to do with the songs we're already doing. So I mentioned this because Singing in the Rain, while the story of it's a movie musical. Mm-hmm. The story is kind of wackadoodle these days, doesn't hold up that well. However, Gene Kelly singing and dancing the title song, Singing in the Rain, doing his little tap dancing, singing in the rain, is a beautiful less than 5 minute clip to show at the end of a class when you've been doing some rain songs.
Yeah.
And it's just heartwarming. I think I've seen this one clip, I don't know, over 100 times for sure, because I use it, but It's for kindergartners, first graders, even second graders, anybody actually. It's delightful. They're not familiar with this. It's from the I don't know what we call it, vintage. It's funny, the other day someone said vintage and they were referring to the 1990s and I just
Oh.
cringed and it made me feel so incredibly old. No, 1990s is not vintage, but can we call Singing in the Rain vintage? I think so. Yeah, just a lovely, lovely clip. If you want 4 minutes to just stand in the back of the room while the lights are off and drink some coffee while the kids are delighted by Gene Kelly, that's your go-to. We've reached the double bar line. Thank you for listening to Music Teacher Coffee Talk. Show notes can be found at musicteachercoffeetalkpodcast.com. You can connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just look for Music Teacher Coffee Talk.
If you enjoyed this show, please consider subscribing, rating, and leaving us a review on iTunes to help others find this podcast. And we always appreciate folks buying us a coffee, so look for that link on our show notes and on our Facebook page. Until next time, this is Carrie.
And this is Tanya wishing you happy musicking.